Bernard, how are you?
I'm doing fine.
Now, how does a man who's very interested in the law become so interested in stem cell?
Well, you know, we're all human beings, and I am a cancer survivor myself. I became very interested in the field, was concerned that something that was as promising as stem cells and regenerative medicine, it's the future of medicine, was being held up by certain political and funding restrictions. And I left the practice of law and aligned my nonprofit organization with some of the leading scientists and patient groups, and this is what I decided to do with my life.
What does the Genetics Policy Institute do?
Well, we are really the voice of the stem cell community, and we do a lot of things. One of the things, of course, is we have put together a really important meeting of all the stakeholders called the World Stem Cell Summit. So we have about 1,000 people in Detroit, and we always work with major academic centers. We've worked with Harvard and Johns Hopkins, and this year, of course, with Michigan State, University of Michigan, and Wayne State University to present the summit here in Detroit. And we also publish the World Stem Cell Report. We have a brand-new textbook, Introduction to Stem Cell Science, that's going to be available through classrooms. We have other educational initiatives about the field.
Well, I'm sure Detroit is delighted to be the host for the 2010 summit. Why did you choose Detroit?
Well, you know, it might have been struck some as a bit counterintuitive, but really the infrastructure is here in the state of Michigan that hugely supports this. They're doing world-class research at all the institutions I mentioned. Also at Oakland University, they're doing great work. You have major hospital and centers and biomedical research centers around the state. Also, you know, we took notice that the Michigan voters passed Proposal 2, basically protecting embryonic stem cell research under the state constitution. And also, you have a basis of philanthropy in the state. People like Alfred Taubman, who's really built a whole first-rate medical center and research center at the University of Michigan. So all of these things, when you add them up, it really made sense for us to bring the meeting to Michigan.
So you have scientists from all over the globe at the 2010 World Stem Cell Summit. It's going on yesterday, today, and tomorrow. What's going on?
Well, we basically have three tracks. We have a science track, so scientists are interested just in the science. We present the cutting edge, not only embryonic stem cells, but tissue-specific adult stem cells, reprogrammed cells. We have experts because we all consider it. The scientists consider it one field. They don't really divide it in some of the slices of people use in talking points when they debate issues about stem cells. They see it as one field of science. So we have them from around the world. We also have industry here. There's this nascent and yet burgeoning new regenerative medicine industry and cell therapy companies, pharmaceutical companies here, and also these types of companies like Geron. We have a keynote address from Tom Okarma today, who heads Geron, which is heading the first clinical trial ever using embryonic stem cells for spinal cord injury. And we have an array of nonprofit organizations and medical philanthropies. Even the American Red Cross is a sponsor of this event.
You had a public stem cell education day on Sunday that was sponsored by the Taubman Foundation. And I know there are still a lot of folks who aren't too sure what stem cell research is all about. And I know that public education day was to help those who are trying to learn more.
Well, sure. You know, the more you educate people, the more people become excited about this, because stem cells are really sort of a game changer. It's part of regenerative medicine. When you think about it, rather than using drugs or surgery, if we can regrow damaged tissues and organs with cells, that might actually provide cures to some diseases. And also the field will discover root causes of diseases, and some of these cells can even be used for tools for drug discovery. One of the things that my organization focuses on, and one of the problems, is it's not going to do any good if we can cure a mass of diabetes, but we can't get it into a human being. So there are all sorts of regulatory issues, cell standardization issues, global harmonization issues that really are below the radar screen for the general public. That's what the genetics policy does, is we try to sort of remove these roadblocks and foster collaborations to move the field forward.
You have the issue God versus science. That's a big issue for some. How do you battle that challenge?
From the days of Galileo, well, you know, the issue of embryonic stem cell research is still remains controversial. And if you believe that cells in a petri dish are people, are persons, it's a moral, a difficult moral divide. But our thought is that if a couple that has a surplus embryos from infertility treatment that are just going to be discarded as medical waste, and they choose to make a donation for medical research, and there can never be a person, it's never going to be implanted into a womb, then these cells have so much promise for discovery that it makes a compelling moral case to actually move forward with the research. And the thing is that breakthroughs are coming, and you know, we have companies that are producing pancreatic cells for diabetes in rats, and they have the technology to do this in human beings out of embryonic cells. And you know, we're close to having clinical trials in blindness using the same cells. So the field, even though it's been restricted funding-wise for many years, and there's a cloud over today, nevertheless is really pushing forward. It's a very exciting time. And the embryonic cells are just one tool in the toolkit that we need to move the field forward.
Bernard Siegel is the founder and full-time executive director of the nonprofit Genetics Policy Institute, and they are the host of the World Stem Cell Summit in Detroit today and tomorrow. I was here also on Monday. The University of Michigan really has some promising stem cell researches. They have created the state's first stem cell line, and that's important.
It really is. Before they changed the law, a scientist in Michigan would go to jail for the work that they did in the University of Michigan in deriving a stem cell line. This stem cell line is, again, from an embryonic cells and from an embryo that would otherwise have been discarded as medical waste and donated for medical research, has the potential of unlocking genetics, unlocking disease questions, and really is helping put Michigan on the map.
And for people who aren't aware, this research is so important. I have a friend who's in a wheelchair, and he's a gentleman who hopes to walk sometime soon, and he believes stem cell research could be the key to that.
Well, this is the point. It's a game-changing technology. When you think about it, you know, we've relied on drugs and surgery, but that hasn't really solved a lot of these problems. But when you think about being able to regenerate nerve tissue in a spinal cord, all of a sudden people start to take notice. And that's why this field is so exciting. And I might add, the Armed Forces is investing a tremendous funds in this field now. We have representatives from the Armed Forces Institute of Regenerative Medicine here, is how are we going to take care of our wounded warriors? We have people that have lost limbs, that have lost skin, and how can we regrow skin? This is the type of thing in regenerative medicine that might provide hope down the road.
Mr. Siegel, who leads the world in cell stem research? Is it more of a community effort, or are individual countries pushing forward, trying to be the first?
Well, I'd say there are a lot of countries elbowing their way to be the first, and because there were such funding restrictions on embryonic stem cell research in the United States, other countries have really charged and moved forward. But I still think that the United States does lead the way. I mean, when you look at the California Institute of Regenerative Medicine and the $3 billion they have invested in stem cells, that's a huge contribution. We have the head of that organization, Bob Klein, speaking today at the World Stem Cell Summit. We have institutions at the University of in Michigan. You look at the folks like Alfred Taubman. That has helped even things out. But right now, politically, and with the court case has cast a pall on funding embryonic stem cell research in the United States. And my concern is that until that gets solved legislatively, that we might find some of our researchers looking abroad rather than sticking here.
How soon do you think that issue is going to be taken care of?
Well, if we're relying on the court system, you know, I have my concerns a year or 2 years, and it might not be a result that's favorable to stem cell research. So it is a question of a legislative fix, and there are folks that are very much opposed to embryonic stem cell research, and as political tides change, there, like I said, there's a cloud about this. But a lot of medical organizations and patients are becoming aware of the risks that are involved if this research doesn't go forward. Funding from NIH is one of the great engines of scientific research in the history of man, and if that's on the sidelines, if you're sitting in a wheelchair or have a child with diabetes or you're suffering from Parkinson's, this is bad news. So, and right now it's wait and see.
And one final question, Mr. Siegel. It seems like this issue, when it becomes personal, you can get a lot more support by it. I've seen recently a story in the wire services where a couple of politicians had relatives who could benefit from this, and they turned turned the tide in how they thought about this, and now they want to support stem cell research.
Well, of course, it does become personal. You know, and that's the amazing thing about this. You have to realize that it impacts our lives, our children, and our grandchildren. One fundamental thing people need to understand is you can't have breakthroughs and you can't have cures unless you allow the experiments to happen or fund the experiments. And that's something sometimes missing in the debate. If someone says, well, embryonic stem cells haven't cured anything yet, well, we're just doing our first clinical trial and we haven't had enough funding to do all the experiments up until now. So it's basic common sense that we learned in 10th grade biology, but a lot of us have sort of forgotten that when it comes to the political debate.
You seem so energized by this. As I mentioned earlier, a man who is trained in the law has really crossed the divide over to science.
It's been a journey and a half, but this is the thing I decided to do with my life, close the law practice to do this. And I've seen this community grow from around the world. And when you see people from 20 countries coming from around the world to Detroit, and it's injecting over $1 million into the economy here that needs it, it really pleases me. And we've been received so well by everyone in the state. I'm very grateful for that.
It's the second day of the 3-day World Stem Cell Summit at the Detroit Marriott and at the Renaissance Center. Dr. Bernard Siegel is the founder and full-time executive director for the Genetics Policy Institute, and they're putting on the World Stem Cell Summit. Thanks so much, Mr. Siegel.
Thank you very much. Bye now.